Grace to you and peace from God, the Creator and Redeemer of the world. You all know this story, and you know it well. And it's been preached lots of different ways, I think, over the course of the decades. I ran across a really old version of a sermon a while back and realized I probably had heard this preached a few times myself, in which the focus was really on this woman of Samaria. And it was assumed, of course, in those days, that since she had had five husbands, that she must have been, well, of questionable moral character. And so the way that this was preached sometimes was that this was really about Jesus forgiving her sins. The only problem is, there is no mention of sin anywhere in the gospel. I thought it was really funny that our actress today said, "For I have no husband." And I was waiting for you to say, "Because I have a wife." I know you did. I was thinking, is she going to do it? Is she going to do it? And then she did. I thought that was just funny. I didn't think about that when we cast you that way this morning. This is not about sin or about forgiveness. Jesus is sitting by the well and he is thirsty. And breaking with all tradition and all of the things that a good rabbi should do, he speaks directly to this woman he does not know and says to her, "Give me a drink." This Samaritan woman. And even she recognizes how strange this is. "Are you talking to me? Me, a Samaritan woman?" For everyone knows that Jews and Samaritans do not get along. And Jesus says, "Yes. And if you had known who was speaking to you about this thing, you would have received this incredible living water." Jesus connects with her in a way that we do not expect. One commentator talked about the fact that when Jesus encounters this woman, this person, he does not see a woman or a Samaritan. But in good sort of liberal Democrat way, he just sees the person apart from all of this other stuff. And I thought, well, there's a time I would have thought that, but in this day and age, I think it's important for us to remember and to realize that Jesus most certainly sees who she is. He sees before him a woman, not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman. And he chooses to commune with her anyway. Jesus does not go blindly forth and pretend as if who she is as a human being and her ethnicity and the city where she comes from and all that she represents doesn't matter. It, in fact, certainly matters. But Jesus chooses to have community with her anyway. That's the power of the story. And the theology of it. And in fact, it's really what our theology as Christian people is really all about. At that well, Jesus connects with her in an unexpected way and makes community where there was no community. And in that encounter at the well, we are given insight into Jesus' coming kingdom. These well-established barriers between women and men, Jews and non-Jews, servant and master, give way to this unfolding vision of Christ for community in God's Spirit. Living water. Jesus says, "Give me a drink. I'm thirsty." And he sees in her a fellow companion. Now, isn't it interesting? I was just struck by how this story is so true for us as well. How often do we, for the sake of our own prejudices and our own bigotry, make decisions about people on their face? There was an interesting experiment that was done a number of years ago in which they employed a young black man to walk down a street repeatedly. And it was really interesting to see that oftentimes, if there was a white person walking in the opposite direction down this sort of darkened way, they counted how many times the white person would walk by the black man. And it turned out that most of the time, what did the white person do? Why did the white person cross the road? Because there was a black man on the other side. It was an astonishing insight into how we judge one another and how it creates fear within us. Create whole policies around people based on their ethnicity and their color, their beliefs, and their sexuality. We create thirst in the world for love and for justice by our own bigotry. Jesus unfolds this kingdom in a different way and offers living water. And he says to the woman who was there from Samaria, go and, you know, here's this water that you can have. And she leaves the well and she goes back to her community and she tells them about Jesus, who she encounters, this Jewish guy, this rabbi. And in hearing the story, they too find living water. So much so, and this doesn't sound very radical to us, but the people from that Samaritan city invited this Jewish rabbi to come and stay. And in the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus menoed with them. He abided with them for 2 days. For 2 days. When the woman confesses that she knows that the Savior is coming, the Messiah, did you catch what Jesus said? It's really important. It's fortunately they've changed the translation. It used to say, I am he that you speak about. But in the new translation, she says, yes, we know that the Messiah is coming, the Savior of the world, who is called the Christ. And Jesus says, ego eimi, I am. Where else do we hear that? Somebody got it in the first service. Please don't shame yourselves. What is your name? Poor Moses, striker of the rock and maker of water, says to God. What is your name? And what does God say? Yahweh, I am. And this is the first moment in the Gospel of John that Jesus says for the first time to this woman from Samaria, not a Jew, not a disciple, not someone who even cares probably, he says, I am. And then he abides. And he promises rivers of gushing water to come out from God's people. This I am Messiah comes also to us and calls us to be rivers of living water. And so it's important to us to see how community begins to form around this God. Because community happens when love persists not in spite of our differences or in denial of our differences, but for the sake of our differences. This Jesus, this I am, this ego a me, abides with this community of Christians and Jews, of Sikhs and Muslims, of sinners and married and single and gay and straight and happy and sad and hurt and lonely and apathetic, endangered, scared, and joyful people. And strikes the rock of our indifference and gushes up in us as a community and the world. This river of living water. And pours it upon our heads in baptism. Calls us to ride that wave in Christ for the sake of the world. And in the end, it is not Jesus' thirst that is slaked, but our own thirst, created in our own brokenness, is slaked forever. And we pour out upon that world, that pour out upon the world, that same living water that brings life and love to the world. Amen.